Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Paradox.
Hey, welcome to our episode, which is about what today?
Today we're going to be talking about Hispanic furry heritage and ask a special guest that we have on the show today. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hola, compadres. I'm Josh. I'm here. Hello. I'm the guest for today's episode. I don't know what to say.
Okay. It's okay. We'll get that out of the way in just a minute. Today's episode, as Paradox mentioned, is about Hispanic furry heritage. But in the recent days, I've kind of really thought, well, what is Hispanic? What does that all cover? Is it just an umbrella term for multiple things? If you think about it, I think last night, I had to go look at your chat because I screenshotted it to you. Oh, yeah. So I was trying to figure out what Hispanic was, because apparently being Latino and being Hispanic are two separate things. And so I was thinking Hispanic was like an umbrella term for everything below it. So like Latin America, Mexico. But then I was thinking, what about Spain? So I Google searched, is Spain a part of being Hispanic? And this is what Google told me. According to these definitions, a person from Brazil, where Portuguese is spoken, would be considered Latino and not Hispanic. And a person from Spain would be considered Hispanic, but not Latino. So that was really odd. It kind of like broke my mind. I'm like, wait, what? I'm so confused. So, and people from Spain, they're called Spaniards. So, you know, they got that thing going for themselves. But the whole reason for this episode is I wanted to kind of, I believe, Josh, you kind of reached out to me either via email or Telegram, and you mentioned it would be kind of cool to do something about Hispanic furries. Is that
right? Yeah, I reached out to you in an email after finding your podcast, and I like speed ran the podcast while I was working in my old job because it was very boring.
That's what everyone
and
does.
I was like, hey, why not see if we can get an episode about Hispanic heritage? Because it's not really, it's not that it's rare, but I have yet to see another Hispanic furry out in the wild. It's just not very common around where I am. I don't know about everywhere else, but I mean, maybe this is like a beacon of light to reach out to other Hispanic furries out there. I don't know. I thought it would be interesting.
And the really interesting thing, the kind of cool part about this, I was thinking about this, is that this is from your point of view, and we're going to be kind of talking about like traditions that you grew up with, but what would be really fun would be to get multiple different people on this show, on our podcast, and find out what their backgrounds are. If they're, I don't know, what Peru is in South America, right? I hate to like make myself look dumb. You know, like Venezuelan, Guatemalan, Brazil. That was one that we mentioned. Anything like that. Like, it would be really cool to get a furry from there or someone who has that background. We can talk about it. Because it's like I said, the Hispanic is like an umbrella that represents multiple cultures. It's like doing a show about American furries. Well, what is an American furry?
There you go.
What is an American furry? You know, like it's made up of 50 different states and each state is different. And so are the people that are in it. So you're getting 50 different aspects and points of view of the fandom from that country. So in a way, this should be a really interesting experience because I really want to get more people involved with this so we can get more perspective. And I think it'd be fun to do that, but also with, you know, like Asian furs and, you know, European furs. That'd be kind of fun to do.
Cover every aspect of the furry fandom.
Yeah, if I could, you know.
Someday we will dominate the globe.
Can't get North Korea. That's obviously not, you know, obtainable, but we'll work on
South
that.
Korea.
We can get South Korea. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm just going to cross the border. I just want to do an interview. Shit. I've got caught. But why don't you go ahead and introduce, we know that your name is Joshua. Why don't you tell us who you are, where you're from, how long you've been in the fandom, a little bit about your background.
So yeah, I go by Josh or Joshua. My real name is Josh. I'm not very creative with names. That's what came up one day. I'm from Florida. I was born in a small town called Hialeah in Miami. And then I moved over to Naples, which is slightly better than Hialeah. Less crime.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
It's
the only reason I still like Hialeah over Naples is because Hialeah was like very dominant with Hispanics. So You would have to know the language to kind of live there. And when I moved over to Naples, it's very not Hispanic. So I kind of lost the language, the Spanish language. I could understand it. I could kind of speak it back. It was my first language. Now it's my second language, which sucks. But Duolingo will help me out.
Swear to God, if I see that Duolingo bird on screen again, I'm going to flip my lid. I'm so tired of seeing it.
He will find you.
No!
And for the Hispanic part, I am mainly Cuban, Guatemalan, and then Mexican. It's a collage.
Were you born in the United States?
I was.
Okay. But were your parents, did they migrate into the United States?
So one parent did and one parent was from here. So it's kind of half-half.
That's cool. That's nifty. You said you got some Cuban. What else you got?
Guatemalan and Mexican.
That's cool.
Have you been? I got the tolerance for the spice.
Wait, what do you mean? Like, you like the spice?
Oh, I love it.
I love spicy foods. Some people just can't tolerate it. But I'm like, you guys just don't even know.
Have you know, had sorry.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to ask if you had the Pocky Chip Challenge. Have you tried that?
No, not yet. I don't know if I want to destroy my insides with that quite yet. There's also like the world's hottest chocolate bar too. And it's like this like single square of chocolate.
I want to try it so bad.
Oh my God. I'm like, nah, I don't know. I think I'm good.
I think I'm too white for that.
I mean, I grew up in San Diego, California, most of my life. So there's a lot of, you know, Hispanic and Mexican influence there. Pretty much like all the street names are Hispanic. You kind of learn how to read. Like you know what? It kills me. Like when people don't know how to pronounce simple words like fuego or
what's vaginas.
Vaginas. Okay. Now, I purposely... nowadays, because I know the proper way of doing it, but I purposely be like jalapenos.
Oh my God.
Jalapenos was the other one. Tortillas.
No.
But Chick-fil-A. Usually if I'm referring to a tortilla, I'm usually referring to Hurricane Katrina.
Yes. Have you seen the video? Yeah.
Such an old find.
More like Hurricane Tortilla.
Jalapeno, jalapeno is another one that I like to do. I know it's jalapeno. And then the one word that kills me is when everyone says chipotle.
And that's like, what I just said.
Chipotle. The L comes after, not before. And it drives me nuts.
Oh. My wife and I like to call it chipotle.
Chipotle.
Interesting story about chipotle. I've never been to a Chipotle before. My friend convinced me to go. And have you ever heard of Pollo Tropical?
No.
Damn. It's a really good restaurant. I think it's Cuban. I'm pretty sure it's Cuban. It's a really good Cuban restaurant. So I walked into the Chipotle and it looked like kind of one-to-one to Pollo Tropical. And I was like, this is strange. Even the menu items are kind of similar. And then I heard this lady go, can I have some polo with beans? And then I walked out and I never went to a Chipotle again.
Oh my God.
Polo.
Can I have some polo with beans? Okay, well then have you ever been to a Pollo Loco?
I have not.
It's just like an insult, really. It is a lot of these, like Taco Bell is an obvious insult. Del Taco is not really up there either. A Pollo Loco is probably Del Taco,
where they got that free shabakadoo.
There's a place in California that my dad would stay because our parents divorced, so I would go and visit him, and it's La Jolla. But everyone says La Jolla. Oh
my God. La Jolla?
Yes, La Jolla.
Jolla. So, and I'm just like, you guys are so stupid. Come on. So, yeah, like when you grow up in an area like that with that kind of influence around, you learn how to say it correctly. I know how to say things correctly, but there are sometimes I like to say it incorrectly just either to irritate my friends or just because it's funny sounding in that way. Yeah, but Lajala. Yeah, that was... There's Lajala. What was the other one? There's... No, I think that's pretty much it. But yeah, I love listening to people try to like pronounce things because they always get it wrong. And I'm like, oh, just don't. Just stop. Please stop.
Here in Ohio, we have corn.
Corn.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my God.
You have maize. It's what you have.
Maize. Yeah. Maize. Fucking corn. Restaurant-wise, we have close to where I live, there is a Don Poncho's, and then there's also Jalisco's. Oh my God. But people call it Jalisco's. And I'm like, no, it's Jalisco.
Isn't Jalisco's also like, oh, yeah, there's whole Joritos. That's the drink I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. But people call it Joritos.
Joritos.
Every time. And then there's this drink called Guananá, which is Brazilian. It's basically like Brazil's version of like this coffee bean that's like super highly caffeinated, but no one says it right. They all say like, what's the Guanarana? And I'm like, it's Guananá. Say it right. Or don't say it at all.
Get him.
You were going to say something, Josh, before.
I was, but I didn't want to interrupt.
No, you're good.
You can interrupt.
No. I'll wait my turn.
Well, it's your turn.
I was going to say to Paradox, have you ever heard of elotes?
No, I don't think
I know what you...
Mexican street corn.
It's the same. Yes.
That's it what it is.
So you... good.
I haven't had it, but like, it looks so good and I want to try it.
There was this one restaurant that I used to go to in Miami and they sold elotes. But they coated it in hot Cheeto dust. And it was the best thing ever. I loved it.
That is interesting. Huh. Never thought to do that. I went to California Pizza Kitchen and they had elotes as like their appetizers. Sorry. Yeah. Elotes. Or what was it? Elote?
Elotes.
Thank you. Elotes. If anyone's ever seen Nacho Libre. There's a scene where they're eating corn and then they just like throw the corn at this guy in the middle of the alley and it hits him in the eye. It's just the funniest thing ever. But that's kind of what it looks like.
We love Jack Black.
Speaking of dishes, do you have any other dishes that you like or want to quiz us on?
I have one more and like I promise I gained like 5 pounds eating them because I couldn't stop.
Flan? Oh,
no, but I love flan.
Flan is so good.
It's called bocaditos. You know what that is?
Nope.
Dang. Spell it for me.
Bocaditos. That is a traditional Cuban dish.
Ooh, that looks snack. Good.
So essentially what it is, it's ham, cream cheese, and sometimes pickles with those pastry buns, whatever you call them. I don't know what you call those, but oh, they're so good. And it's dangerous because they're bite-sized, too. So I could just eat one and then the other and then the other. And it's
they
just
look like little hot dog buns.
Little hot dog buns. Look
like little finger sandwiches.
It's really sweet. The buns are really sweet.
Is the ham like, is it like sliced ham or is it like?
It's like mushed ham.
So it's kind of like Spam ham?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a ham salad?
Ham salad.
What?
I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh my God.
It's ham salad.
It's ham salad. It's kind of like chicken salad, but it's ham salad.
Oh, no. Oh, that does not look good.
No, it does not look good. I don't eat it, but like that's what it looks like.
Have you pulled it up and looked at it?
I have, and it. Have you seen the alleged videos of how McDonald's chicken nuggets were made?
Ew, yes.
No. That's kind of what it looks like.
Ew.
Oh, it's so gross. I don't like that. I just imagine that if I stick my finger in there, it's going to be like,
oh.
You know?
Why?
You know, it's just, I just feel like that's good. Yeah, no, I'm good. That reminds me of pate, but this looks like pate that's been like disorganized. Like pate is uniform and it's formed in like a dome kind of a thing, and this is like the opposite. It's like poor man's pate.
I've never heard of pate before.
If you've ever had a cat, most of their food is pate.
Oh
yeah, it's pretty gross.
Like canned cat food is pate.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it kind of looks like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm now self-conscious about my cord because I know if I touch my cord, sometimes it disconnects.
I'm going to really try to not touch mine.
I've told Paradox before, sometimes I'll be like flailing my hands over here, and then all of a sudden I'll be like, put it down, and it like smacks the cord and it pops out of the USB, and I'm like, no! So I'll keep my hands above me.
So what Space is referring to right now is that the cables came unplugged from some of their equipment, and so it stopped the recording, but I was able to edit it mostly out besides I'm talking about this.
Remember, kids, keep your hands to yourself and don't touch your cords in front of other people.
Stupid.
Oh, shoot.
Getting back on track here, how has being Hispanic influenced your experience in the fandom?
So it's kind of, I don't know if alienated is the right word, because that's kind of like a harsh word, but it's just, I kind of feel left out. I went to Megaplex 2020. Oh my God. What year is it? Is it 2023 or four?
We're in 24.
2024 right
okay,
now.
Okay. Okay. In 2023, I went to Megaplex and there was like not that many. I didn't see any Hispanic furries. And I really wanted to like, you know, broaden my horizon, speak with other Hispanic furries, see what their experiences were, what dishes they liked, just normal kind of stuff like that. But I didn't see any Hispanic people. I was like the only person there that I saw that was Hispanic. So I guess like in the least mean way possible, I felt kind of alienated, like discluded. And I kind of feel like that way when I'm online too, because I don't have anyone to relate to. Like, it's just me. I'm the only Hispanic furry that I know.
Well, so there's this, I was looking up the demographics of what makes up the furry fandom, and I found one particular fact that said that Hispanics make up only as little as 3% in the furry fandom, which is really odd, because I thought there'd be a little bit more than that. Obviously, the dominants are Caucasian and everything else that falls after that. But, you know, I would think that, like, Texas, you've been to Texas Furry Fiesta yet?
Me?
Yeah.
That was my first con, and I've never been out of state except for like twice. Okay. For like high school band trips.
But you've been to Megaplex.
Yes.
Okay. There is one, if you ever get a chance to go, it's in Guadalajara. It's called Conferrer.
Oh, Mexico.
Yeah. So it's a really cool one. I'll drop it in your Telegram so you can see it.
And you actually pronounce that quite amazingly. I've heard it butchered so many times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Again, I know how to pronounce. If I can see it, I can pretty much figure out how to say it. So for me, it's not hard to like pronounce and read Spanish, but I don't know what I'm saying specifically if I'm just reading something. But for major, obviously major places like Guadalajara, I know obviously how to say that, but say it three times in a row. Guadalajara, Guadalajara, Guadalajara. There you go. You're welcome. So if you ever get a chance, you should go there, because I know Paco Panda goes there. Paco Panda is a Mexican furry. You know who he is? Have you ever seen his art?
I have not, unfortunately.
He's the best. He's pretty cool. We've had him on our... So this is really, really cool. So he designed this book called Art and Biro, so B-I-R-O. And he first produced the book. He wrote it, illustrated everything in Spanish, and then did the rest in English, and then everywhere else in different languages, which I thought was really cool. So when I was at BLFC last year, he was there. And I was really surprised because I didn't think he was going to be there. So I went up to his booth and I'm like, oh my God, you have the book. I want to have the book. I really wanted the book in Spanish because that was like the original one. Only had it in English, but he did sign it and I was really excited for that. But he is probably one of my favorite artists in the whole fandom. And he's from Mexico, which is pretty cool. So
what was her name again? I'm going to Google.
Paco Panda, P-A-C-O, and then Panda. If you ever get a chance, we do an interview with him. He's the most down-to-earth guy you've ever met. And then while we were interviewing him, he actually did a doodle for us. And that doodle is now my background on my desktop. I haven't changed it. He's a really nice guy. And it was so like humbling because Spanish is his first language. And he also knows English too. But he was apologetic because, you know, he knows that English isn't his first language. And so he might, you know, mess up. And I'm like, don't even worry about that. Just tell your story the best way that you can in your own way. And that's how we want to hear it, because that's how we want to tell your story, your interview. So it was really good. I loved it. It was a great, great episode. If you ever get a chance, go listen to it. You'll hear his accent and everything. It's beautiful. That's too bad that you've been kind of like alienated. I know that you say that's a rough term, but you would think there'd be more. Maybe there are more, but they're just not as present.
I have no idea.
I mean, I guess that kind of like goes into the second question, or the next question here is this: have you ever experienced any negative complications in the fandom or in general that has affected you for being Hispanic?
Not so much in the fandom, but I've had a couple of negative kind of experiences in Florida as a Hispanic. I don't know if you want to dig into that.
Sure.
Sure. Why not?
It's up to you. At your discretion, you don't have to tell them, but if you want to, you're okay.
I can tell you two that are more on the tame side.
Okay. We'll go with those then.
But first I need to ask, are you okay? You can bleep it out if you want, but are you okay if I use the slur they used against me? Or do you want me to like not say it and just like say the word, the letter that starts with?
Oof.
I think in this context, Crow, don't edit this out. So I think in this particular context, because you're telling it from your point of view, I think it's okay. If I were to tell it from my point of view, it probably wouldn't be okay. It would be a more, what do they call it? Appropriation if I had said it my way. So because you're telling it, it's your experience from your point of view, I'm okay with it.
All right. I just don't want to offend anyone. Like anyone who's listening.
Your discretion advice for the next like 10 minutes. So.
And my brothers, they all went on like Spanish speaking missions to like Mexico, Brazil, and oddly Tennessee, but they've all taught me some bad words.
Oh, no.
So I'll know if you say, I don't know if the word you're talking about, the slang, I'm sure it's not what I know.
Oh, no, slur. Like it's slur. In English.
Oh, okay.
Oof.
Yeah, go for it. If you're comfortable, it's totally up to you.
Oh, I'm fine saying it. I just, it sucks when someone says it to me, you know?
Well, there might be other people out there that have gone through the same experience you have, but they haven't actually heard someone talk about it. And so this might be a good way to validate someone who's listening. Okay. So, yeah.
So one of my first jobs, and I think it was 2016, 2017, I was in high school still. I wanted to get money, so I got a job at Bed Bath & Beyond before they shut down forever. And I was a cashier and a stalker. So I would stock things, take it from freight trucks like 5 in the morning and work my afternoon shift at 12. And when I was working my 12 o'clock shift as a cashier, somebody came in with a red hat and white letters. Won't be descriptive, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
We all know what that is.
And they had a vacuum from like, I swear it was from the 1940s. It was a brand that I didn't know. I looked it up, said it was in the 1940s, and it looked like a vacuum from the 1940s. It was dilapidated. It was filled with black gunk and also dust. So I don't know. We had a very lenient policy for returns that the managers really didn't care about. So this person brought the vacuum and I looked at it and I was like, this was never sold by us. I've never seen this company before. You don't even have a receipt. How do you want me to give you money back for something? I don't even know what the value is for it. And he was like, well, I swear I bought it from you. Why don't you understand that? And I was like, I understand that it's not from our store. If you want, I can get my manager. And then he went, oh, you wetbacks. You don't understand anything. You come to this country, steal our jobs, and ruin everything. And I was like, oh, thank you, sir. I hope you have a wonderful day. And he stormed out with a vacuum, and I was so uncomfortable. Yeah, that sucked.
That's awful.
Very awful. The second one's a little more lighthearted. It's not like it was definitely on me. I will admit my mistake. I assumed through stereotypes. So we were driving down to go to Disney, and we took this like countryside road. It was like off-roading almost. Mm-hmm. And we stopped by this gas station, and there was just, I've never seen a cowboy in my life until then. Everyone in that gas station was cowboys. Cowboy hats, they had the slacks. Some of them even had saddles hung over their shoulders. And there were horses outside. I was like, what? What is going on here? It was crazy to me. But I walked in there and I assumed that everyone would, like, you know, treat me horribly because I'm Hispanic and I have a Hispanic look to me. And I don't know. I assumed that they would be upset and disgruntled. So I put on a fake Southern accent and walked in there and talked with a fake Southern accent because I was afraid. One of them commented, they were like, oh, you don't have to talk like that. We're fine with you. And I felt so bad. I was like, wow, I should have like not done that. I felt terrible. But it was my past experiences living here that led me to, you know, try to fit in a very disrespectful way. So that's another story that I have. And I still feel bad for it today.
But it's not necessarily, I'm so sorry, Space. I was going to say, it's not necessarily like super disrespectful. I at least to me, because they made you feel better because they're like, hey, you know what? I get it. I understand. But, you know, I'm just glad that they made you feel better.
You were going into a situation where you had a past experience. Thus, who knows what other stereotypical stuff you, well, I mean, because like stereotypical cowboy, you think about how they treat other people that are not of their skin color or of their culture. You know, it's one thing, it's easy to walk into that situation and assume the worst because of what you've experienced. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I think what you did was probably brave. I probably would have not done that. I don't want to say it's equivalent to being gay because it's not, because it's totally two different things. But sometimes when I go into stores that are very primarily straight and this is the law of the land and red-hatted, I don't really know how to react or how to act in a store like that. I almost avoid it, but sometimes I got to go into places like that. And I just, I don't know. I don't know what I would have. I probably would have done the same thing you did, made an assumption and just went with it.
So I'm going to add something here real quick. So even though you did make like an assumption, which again, like totally understand why you did. So actually, like most everything else in this stupid country,
yep.
It has become so whitewashed, and that includes like the West and cowboys in general. And this is actually something, this is my most recent thing of interest, is like the West in like 1800s and whatnot and a little bit before. But what actually made up most of your cowboys is actually a lot of Hispanics. A lot of Hispanics made up like a lot of your actual traditional cowboys was Hispanics. That and also Black people, people of color there. And also, shockingly enough, a lot of your queer people. So a lot of your cowboys were actually queer people, not just gays, but also trans men were also cowboys.
Not to mention, we pretty much fought a war and stole Mexico's land and called it our own.
Yep.
So there's that. And I hate, oh my God, Josh, I hate when people are like, get out of our country, you're stealing all of our jobs. I'm like, what jobs? The jobs that you don't want to work because you're so fucking lazy?
Right.
Like, yep. I don't understand, like, where that's coming from.
It's always the down and dirty jobs too that, like, you know, most of your, you know, most of your general public won't do that, you know, the quote unquote Hispanics will, or other people like that will do that because nobody else is going to do them.
Yeah.
Same thing goes for Black, like the Black community too. They do the same thing. So like, why are you complaining about people quote unquote taking your jobs? Okay, you go fucking do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. Well, I'm sorry you had those experiences, though. Do you still have them? Like, do you have like similar experiences to this day, or do you feel like times have changed a little bit?
It's been a little more chill these past few years. I have not had any of those experiences. I work right now at Geek Squad, so I fix people's computers on the daily. And really, nobody has been rude to us. I mean, us at least, the people in the back that work on the computers. I don't work on the front. I used to. I moved. In the back, they don't really get angry at you because you have their personal device at hand and you can do whatever you want. So they're really nice about it. The only time they're really upset is if we take too long on a device. But again, that has nothing to do with race. I haven't experienced anything like that in the past few years. So yeah, I think we've gotten a little more chill about it.
Well, that's good. To kind of bring us back up into like a more positive atmosphere, are there any traditions that you celebrate in your culture that may not be as mainstream to the rest of the community?
So I know for a fact that this isn't talked about as much because I didn't even know it was like a Hispanic holiday. I thought it was just a holiday everyone celebrated until I brought it up to my friends. And they were like, what are you talking about? So it's this thing called medianoche, which is also a Hispanic food. But wait, is it? Hold on. Wait. I know it's a Hispanic food. Hold on. I just want to make sure I'm saying the right thing. Medianoche is like a ham sandwich. It's kind of like a Cuban sandwich. I don't know the name in Spanish, but in English, it's the night before Christmas. It's a huge celebration where the family gets around and just eats. We just eat a lot. It's like Thanksgiving right before Christmas. And we stay up until Christmas and then say Merry Christmas. That's about it. Oh, Noche Buena. Noche Buena.
Is what it was. Yeah.
Yes. Not Medianoche. Noche Buena is what we celebrate every year. There might be Medianoche there because it's a ham sandwich. But yeah, we celebrate that. And it's not really mainstream because I've never seen it talked about online. And my friends didn't know about it. So it's a pretty, not secretive, but not talked about holiday that we celebrate. It's a Cuban holiday.
You know, so Cinco de Mayo, we all know it in America. It's just another day to drink beer. My brother, when he went down, so I'm Mormon, my background is, but I don't go anymore. I don't practice. So that would explain why my brother would go on a missionary or a mission experience to like Mexico. But he was in a part of Mexico where they don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo. In fact, when he brought it up to the locals around, they kind of laughed at it and said, we don't really celebrate. It's not a major holiday. And I'm like, that's so interesting. And I kind of wonder if, I mean, I know that Cinco de Mayo was, I think it originated in Puebla or the state of Puebla. So I'm not sure if it's one of those where it's widely celebrated throughout the whole country of Mexico. Do you celebrate it?
No, not really. We don't.
That's what I thought. It's more like an American holiday based. Yeah. Well, it's a special holiday if you're from that area in Mexico. But for whatever reason, America has made it its like own holiday.
Americanized.
Ugh, gotta stop doing that. Oh, it's another one of those Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. It's the one that I love saying. People are like, that's not how you say it. I'm like, but that's how I say it. Any other traditions, like maybe Guatemalan?
So Guatemalan, not really, but Mexican, yes.
You tell.
El Dia de los Muertos, you know that one, right? Coco.
Yeah, yes. That's the most badass. Yeah. One of my most badass holidays.
I like it because it's like, instead of, and don't get me wrong, people grieve in different ways, but instead of crying about loved ones that have passed, I like to celebrate how they lived and hope that they're in a greater pasture. That I like to celebrate the way that they treated us when they were with us. And I know that they don't want us to, you know, mourn their loss. They want us to celebrate that we got to, you know, be with them when we got the chance to. So that holiday is really special to me because I have lost a couple family members in the past. And, you know, you do get sad. Like, you can't pretend like you're not sad. But it's better to be happy than sad, in my opinion.
I agree. What are your thoughts on that movie?
Coco?
Yeah.
Super nice movie. I hate it when my friends do that, the coyote howl.
Oh yeah, I can't do it.
I can do it, and I did it once, and my friends always do it when I get in the car, when they get in my car, they always do it, and it's like, man.
I love how vibrant the movie is.
Oh, the colors. Yeah, I love it. The
colors are so beautiful. Do you think that the movie really does justice to depict the holiday, or do you think they kind of just
they put a Disney spin to it?
Okay.
It's faithful to the holiday in the sense that that's kind of how we celebrate it, but there's a lot of Disney fluff in it.
Speaking of Disney, I noticed you mentioned when we were chatting in Telegram that you have an internship with, is it Disneyland or Disney World?
Disney World.
What is this internship, if you can say?
So I can say a couple things about it. I did sign an NDA. But I'll say a couple things. So for my internship, it's called, I really hate this name because it has negative connotations in the fandom and online, but it's referred to as the CP program. You can see why I hate that name, but it's called the Disney College Program. They call us CPs, which I don't like. I really do not like that name. But right now, we're going to start at the lower echelon of Disney. So I got chosen as a custodian, and okay. I can work my way up to ride operations. So the people that, you know, operate the rides. That is something I'm looking forward to because I'm an engineer. I'm a software engineer, and my end goal is to become an Imagineer, which is the Disney engineers.
That's really hard, though. So cool, though.
It would be.
They're like the unsung like celebrities of the Disney world.
Everything you see at Disney has been touched by an Imagineer at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Well, good luck to you on that. That's exciting.
It's a mix of emotions because I have never been away from my family before, and now I have to live 4 hours away from my family with somebody else I don't know for 5 months.
I get to get all grown up.
I don't know how to cook.
It's okay.
Make some elotes.
So stupid. Go to Chipotle. Get your Del Taco in, and then of course, yep, when all goes to pot, then you can always do
Jalapenos.
No, I was going to say Top Ramen.
Oh. Taco.
I also noticed that you're a VR furry. Do you do a lot in that spectrum?
So I streamed a lot a couple years ago with an avatar that I had for VR chat. It kind of died down a little bit because I had school and work to deal with, but I stream every Friday now, or try to. So I do technically do VR stuff. The more VR stuff would be in TikTok, because I was just recently made a TikTok, and I do little skits with my avatar in VR. So that's more of the VR kind of realm.
That's cool. We'll have to get your information so that way our listeners can go follow you.
If you want. I'm not going to push anything. I don't want to be a sellout.
Whatever. I'm pretty sure your Paradox will, because I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's an adjustment. I appreciate the correction.
I'm getting there.
You're doing it. You're doing so good.
He's all over TikTok. Not me. Have you met any Hispanic furries in the Meta universe?
I have not.
There's got to be some.
No, I have not. Not yet. I'm still waiting.
I'm going to find some and I'm going to send them your way.
All right.
I'm really good at digging and finding things. Well, we're kind of getting close to the end of our episode. And I know Paradox does get up early. So
unfortunately, I'm going to work my job that I hate.
I'll leave you with this one last question that we have for you. What is something you'd like our listeners to know about you that perhaps no one else knows?
Oh, man, that's a deep question.
An open question, yeah.
Something
about your family, or it could be something about you. It could be really anything.
I guess it's not really well known, because I don't think any of my other friends know this.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, that's pretty obvious.
Confidential.
So at like 5 years old, I was diagnosed with like severe ADHD, and I was on medication at 5. I think it was Adderall, I think.
Oh
Jesus.
That's rough.
Yeah. It gave me like severe, I don't know if it's like, this is like a common side effect for everyone else, but for me, it gave me like severe depression, and I'd never wanted to eat or anything. So I eventually got off it 2 years later. So that was interesting, but I haven't been on medication since then, since 6 years old. I just want to say, like, it doesn't matter what affliction you have, if you try your hardest, you can do it. It was really hard for me to go through high school without medication. I constantly dozed off. I constantly blanked out. Like, I would just sit there. I don't know what it's called, but I would just sit there, and like, it would, my vision would just go blurry, and I'd be in another universe just sitting there. It looks like I was playing. Sorry?
Daydreaming?
Sure. Daydreaming. I was daydreaming a lot and not paying attention. But when I saw my grades start to go down, I studied 2 times harder at home. I knew that I would doze off in school, but when I was at home, I was more comfortable, more attentive. Know your limits, but try to push yourself to those limits, and you could accomplish most anything that you put your mind to.
I feel like a lot of furries are probably ADHD.
I'll just raise my paw because I definitely do.
I feel like the fandom is some hodgepodge of like...
Hodgepodge.
Yeah, I couldn't really pick one. I just wanted to go with all three.
Yikes.
There's just a mix of people. There's, you know, loads of autistic people, high-functioning autism. I've seen Down syndrome furries. I've seen ADD, ADHD. I mean, across the board, I think that kind of makes us all kind of float and fit together because... Technically, when you have something like that, it kind of makes you feel singled out.
And we all go in the neurodivergent soup.
Exactly. And so it kind of works out. Like, we're all, I hate to say it, but man, I was a loner in high school. I was not popular. I was kind of like, let's play, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! In yes. the resource room or whatever, you know, and that's about it kind of a thing. And so I grew up, you know, in high school and stuff, not having a lot of friends. But now in the fandom, it's the complete opposite. I feel like I can really connect with a lot of people that I couldn't connect with in high school. So it's kind of a beautiful thing. But did you have something else you wanted to say?
No.
Oh, I thought I heard you go. And I was like,
It was a thought. And then I forgot the thought. I honestly have no idea what I was going to say.
Welcome to our world. The ADHD swept from you. So I'm going to kind of put this out there. I said it at the beginning, but I want to say it again. If you're Hispanic, if you're Latino, and you want to share your world, your experiences, your point of view of the fandom and your culture in and outside of the fandom, by all means, send us an email. Let us know. Now, I would prefer that you be at least 16 or 17. 17 more, it's a little bit safer that way. And we'll look at maybe setting up an interview and then getting a point of view. This year, in 2024, my focus is to really bring our listeners' stories to life. I want to be more invested in our listeners and get points of view from them than just kind of do the more generic topics that we always do. So if you've got a story and you want to be on our show, which I know a boatload of you do, email us at talktothemuzzle@gmail.com.
Oof.
I've been meaning to ask. What's up with the discrepancy? Not discrepancy. Like, why is it not Straight from the Muzzle? Why is it Talk to the Muzzle? What happened there?
Oh, so Straight from the Muzzle is our business account, and Talk to the Muzzle is our fan account. So whenever I sign up to do, like, new services or new social media sites, I use Straight from the Muzzle. That way I can keep all of that email coming in there. And then Talk to the Muzzle is reaching out, you know, as our fans, you know, reaching out to us, and I can keep that there. I probably could have just created some email rules to basically, you know, control what was coming in, going where with the first one, but I don't know. I created two. It works. I have to check the Straight from the Muzzle one though every once in a while, because some people will actually email there and I'll have to go there and forward it to the other one. So
I thought it was like a thing where like somebody took the name, so you have to change it to something else.
No, it was a choice that I made.
It is what it is.
If you guys want to follow us or have questions, I don't know, what do I usually say? I'm really, really good at outros and I'm really like lacking now.
That's okay. If you guys have anything else you guys would like to say to us, any questions, comments, concerns, I guess. I'm going to do my little outro. Okay. So if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns about today's episode, or have any ideas for future episodes, please let us know. You know, send your little emails and talk to us at talkfromthemuzzle@gmail.com.
Talktothemuzzle@gmail.com.
There we go. Talktothemuzzle@gmail.com. Thank you. So, but yeah.
And then we also have our Twitter account, which is From the Muzzle. Because straight from the Muzzle was too long, so I had to shorten that one. That's the reason behind that one. So you can reach us there. And then I've heard some discrepancy on the link that's available for our Telegram. I can guarantee you it's the same link that we use everywhere else. It works. So I'm not sure if it's like a Spotify thing, if like maybe the link just gets kerplupped. But if you can't find our Telegram, you can always email us or just go to our Twitter. And I think we have it on there too. So you can join our group of, I think we've gone up now. We're at 166 members now.
Woohoo!
The conversations never stop.
No, they don't.
Nope. No, they
That's
don't.
That's why I have it muted.
Oh, sad.
Okay, listen, because it goes like all times of the day.
It truly does, though.
Have my phone vibrating like all throughout the night. So. Making sounds.
Yeah, it happens. But anything else, yeah, that's where you guys know where to find us. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any last words, Josh?
Adios. Goodbye.
How about hasta luego? Is that what it is?
Hasta luego.
Yeah,
hasta luego.
Until next time, I think that's what that means, right? I don't even know.
It works! All right, folks, we'll see you guys on our second episode, which I think I'm going to be hoping it's going to be bloopers from all of the recent years that we've done. So,
oh my gosh.
That should be a real treat for you guys. So, yes. All right, have a good one, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.